We're going to read tonight in Luke's Gospel. And we're turning to Luke and to chapter 8, to what is a very familiar passage of Scripture. It's one of the parables of the Lord Jesus. We'll read in Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." Now we'll end our reading there at the end of verse 18, and we look to the Lord to add his blessing to the reading of his word. There can be no doubt that the Lord Jesus was surely one of the greatest preachers who ever lived. When you read through the Gospels and you listen to him, whether he's speaking on a one-to-one basis with individuals or whether or not he's speaking to vast multitudes of people, you will listen to him carefully and hear the words that he spoke. He preached with great relevance, for he sought to reach the hearts and minds of the people who came to him from all the different walks of life. He knew them. He knew what was in their hearts, and he knew what to say to meet their need. He preached with great simplicity. He took illustrations from everyday life, and he sought to do so to make the message that they heard easy for them to understand. He preached with a great passion, for the Lord Jesus Christ had a heart of love for the people that he ministered to. We're given this lovely picture, aren't we, in the scriptures of the man who during his ministry saw the people as sheep without a shepherd, and his heart went out to them. We see him coming down the side of the mountain, looking over Jerusalem, knowing what was soon to befall them. And it says that the Lord Jesus Christ wept for the city. A man with a passion and a man with great compassion for those who listened to him. He preached with great integrity, for he always spoke the truth. He never asked anyone to follow him under any kind of false pretense. Is it any wonder that when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, there were those who said of him, "Never man speak like this man. Never man speak like this man." Now, one of the things that the Lord Jesus often did was to take a parable and to use that parable to teach some spiritual truth. And as we continue to look at some of the great questions of the Bible, I want to turn your thoughts to the parable of the sower. And a question that was asked by the disciples on this occasion when they didn't understand what the Lord Jesus Christ had just said to them. They turned around and they said to him, "What might this parable be? What might this parable be?" The parable of the sower is perhaps one of the best known parables taught by the Lord Jesus, and yet it gives us a very striking illustration if we understand it in the context of the days in which the Lord Jesus Christ lived. So I'll try to be very simple and I'll try to be brief and understand some of the things that we read off in this particular parable. I want you to look first of all at the sower and the seed. Now the disciples asked the question, what might this parable be? Because after all that Jesus had said to them by way of explanation, they just couldn't understand what he was talking about. And of course, for us to understand it, we need to understand it and understand the picture that Jesus has in his own mind. He's thinking of a farmer. A farmer who would be out on the land with his basket and with the seed. And as he would go about his land, he would be taking the seed and he would be sowing it across his land. He would be sowing that seed in faith, and he would be looking forward for the weather to be right until the day would come when he would reap a harvest for the seed that he had just sown. Perhaps it was, as some commentators suggest, that the very day the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to the disciples, that he maybe saw a farmer who was out doing this on his own land. We don't know about that. But Jesus uses a very simple explanation to speak about the sowing of the Word of God. You see, in a spiritual sense, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing. Remember, we read of him as he moved from different towns to another town, from a village to another village. What was he doing? He was going amongst the people and he was breaking to them the bread of life. He was speaking to them of eternal issues, but these issues involved their everyday living. He was giving them the opportunity to hear words whereby they might be saved. He was telling this sinful and rebellious generation how they could have their sins forgiven and how that they could be restored again to fellowship with God. Now, he didn't complicate it. He did it very simply. He used an illustration that they could very easily identify with: the farmer and the sowing of the seed. Just before I move on from that, let me say two things about this. Two things by way of simple application. Sometimes in the work of God, those who sow the seed of God's word can easily get deterred and discouraged when we don't see much fruit. If we're engaged in the work of children or young people or indeed in a pulpit ministry, sometimes we put our heart into it and we share the word of God with others and we don't perhaps see the fruit at times that we would like to see. Well, we need to remember this. Our responsibility is simply to sow the seed. It's our responsibility to break down the word of life, to make it simple, to make it relevant, to deal with eternal realities, and then to stand back and to allow God to bring forth the fruit when the time of harvest is right, and he'll do that in his own time, and he'll do that in his own way. But you and I must continue to go on and keep sowing the seed of God's word and remain faithful, because that's all that God demands of any one of us. But there's another aspect to this. There's something important here for those of us who share the word of God. There's something vitally important here for those who listen to the word of God. For we read here in this particular parable that the Lord Jesus Christ says it twice, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." There's not just a responsibility upon those who take the word of God and share it with young people and children and out in the wider community. There is a responsibility placed upon men and women, young people and even boys and girls to hear the word of God and to heed it. Now, young people, your youth leaders, Sunday school teachers, whatever, might not be the greatest orators that you have ever heard, but you have a responsibility to listen carefully to the word of God that they bring to you. It's for the good of your souls. I'll not be the greatest preacher that you'll ever hear from this pulpit, but you've got the responsibility, when you hear the word of God, to heed it and to see what it is that God is saying to you for the good of your soul. God has given you the ability to hear, and you need to hear well. The fact is, my friend, that the gospel message, this good news that is presented to you, whatever your age, whatever your background tonight, this good news is reminding you that you're a sinner on your way out into a lost eternity, but that there is hope for you in Jesus Christ. That you're separated from God because of your sin, but Christ has come to die for your sins at the cross. And knowing this, you must do something about it. It's not just enough to hear the word of God. You've got to heed it. Jesus says, take heed how you hear. Stories told of a young man brought up under the sound of the gospel who never missed church. He heard some of the greatest preachers of his day. In his earlier years, he was concerned about salvation, but thought he was too young to get saved. And so he just kept drifting along in and out of the meetings, listening to the good news of the gospel. He would have confessed to some of the preachers at the door that he had enjoyed the message that he'd just heard, that he was challenged by it, but never did anything to trust Christ. He began as a young teenager to work in his father's mill. He became otherwise involved in other things. He didn't treat his soul as seriously as he should have done. Then the years began to pass. Attendance at the meeting stopped. He never darkened the door of a church anymore or sat under the sound of the gospel. He was involved morning, noon, and night, running his father's mill. Then he took sick. Lying in his bed, the man who had often preached to him came to him one evening to visit him and said to him, "Listen, all the times you've sat under the sound of the gospel, you did nothing about it. And now you're on the verge of eternity. Can you not hear Jesus speaking to you?" The man looked up, he said, "Somewhere in the distance, I think I can hear Jesus speaking to me.
But I can't hear him anymore for the sound of the mill. I can't hear him anymore for the sound of the mill. I say this very carefully and I say this very lovingly. If you're in the habit of going in and out of gospel meetings and traveling to gospel missions and sitting under preachers bringing you the gospel for umpteen years and you're not saved, it's time that you stop trifling with your soul. It's time that you thought seriously about this great matter of eternity. Because the word of God brought to you is not just to be heard. It needs to be heeded. I look at this particular parable. See the sower and the seed. I want you to see with me the seed and the soil. You see, having looked at the sower, look at what Jesus says about the different kinds of soil that the seed is sown in. And I'll do these very quickly. If the sower represents the preacher and the seed represents the word of God, then the soil represents the human heart. And it might be that as you come to this particular parable, that you can see your own heart spoken of in the words of Christ. He mentioned four different types of soil. He speaks first of all about the common ground in verse 5. A sower went out to sow a seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Now the layout of Palestine was such that there were strips of land that were known as the common ground or the wayside. These were paths that the people would often walk through fields. And because of all the coming and going, there was little chance that the seed would ever take root. Wonder tonight, is that what your heart's like? It's not that you don't know the gospel. It's not that you don't know your need of salvation. It's not that you don't sit in meetings like this under the sound of God's word. The problem is that you never treat it seriously. You're so preoccupied with other things that the word of God has no effect on your heart whatsoever. To use an Ulsterism, it's in one ear, it's out through the other. But then he speaks about the rocky ground in verse 6. He says, some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Understandably, much of the ground in Palestine, because of the climate, was very rocky and very hard. In fact, large portions of the land consisted of just a little covering of soil that was lying upon limestone rock. There was little help for the seed to germinate. There was no opportunity for nourishment. The ground was hard. It was worthless. There was no way that anything could ever grow on it. And I hope tonight your heart's not like that. I honestly hope that your heart is not like that. Hard against the gospel. You're here tonight and you're here under duress. You couldn't care less whether you heard the gospel or not another time. Tell me, do you understand that every time that you listen to the gospel, that your heart is either getting softer towards it or getting harder towards it? Are you rebellious tonight? With a heart that's hard toward God and the things of God? Do you hate coming to meetings like this? Do you resent your parents sharing their faith? Do you hate it when Christians say in the midst of trials, I'm praying for you? I've worked with men in the past who attended many meetings like this. Drove them up and down to missions all over the country. They're still not saved. But their hearts are so hard today, they wouldn't darken the door of any meeting. The common ground, the rocky ground, the thorny ground. Look at what Jesus says in verse 7. He says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Now, this piece of ground had originally been good ground, but it hadn't been kept. And as the seed grew up, so too did the weeds and the thistles. And as a result of that, the seed was choked. And it was of no real value, even though it had a bit of a start. Is that where you are tonight? You remember those days when you were more aware of your need than you are just now. You actually thought about becoming a Christian, but you never got round to it. And then you lost the desire. You thought of actually going out one evening and talking to your Sunday school teacher, or perhaps just saying to the pastor on your way out, I need to talk to you sometime about my sin and about my soul. But it never materialized because you got caught up with other things. I sat in the car one evening with a lady from my own family circle that I took to a mission. We talked about her situation. We talked about the message we'd both heard. And I remember as she was about to leave the car door, she stopped and she turned around and she looked me right in the face, and with tears in her eyes, and they began to stream down her face, she said to me, John, I'd love to be like you, but. She told me things that the Lord could have sorted out for her. If I invited her to a meeting now, I wouldn't quote you what her response might be. An opportunity at the beginning, actually thinking about what these things mean, but dragged her feet, and today no interest. But there's one other type that the Lord mentions. It's the good ground in Luke 8, verse 8. Other fell in good ground, sprang up, bare fruit and hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Here was ground that was well prepared. Here is ground that was rich enough and good enough for the seed to grow, and in its time it would bring forth fruit. And would to God that your heart was like that. I mean that, honestly. Would to God your heart was like that. And maybe it is. You're sitting tonight in this meeting. You didn't have to be coaxed to come because you wanted to be here. You didn't have to have it explained to you about what we do because you have an interest in the gospel. It might be that you're sitting here tonight and God has been speaking to you. And you've been thinking about the love of God and Christ, and you've been taken often to the cross, and you've looked into the face of this man whom you don't know, but you know that he died for your sins at the cross, and he know that he wants to save you, and he's willing to save you, and your heart's open tonight. But you still haven't come. Oh, would to God, as the Spirit of God speaks to your heart and the love of God is reaching out to you in Christ again, that you'd respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and to the love of God and come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ this very night. You say, why tonight, Pastor? Because tonight's the only time you're guaranteed. God says, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. And I've known many's a man and woman, young person, who sat in caravans with me after meetings, moved to tears, and went home to think about it and never trusted Christ, and some of them tonight are in a lost eternity. The sower and the seed. The seed and the soil. The soil and its success.
I always find this extremely challenging. Tell you why. However you and I see it, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us there was only one positive response. One. Now look at these as we finish. He told a parable, explained something they would have been familiar with as the sower would go about sowing the seed. Spoke about the soil and what would happen when the seed would hit the soil. And the disciples turn around and they say to him, what might this parable be? Not for the first time. The Lord Jesus has to explain it to them, for they hadn't grasped it. And he speaks surely about four different kinds of response to the preaching of the gospel. First of all, there's the negative response. Verse 12. He explains this, not me. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They hear the word preached, but their response is negative. Negative. It's almost like those when the Savior was brought out and presented to them. And despite everything that they knew about him, their response was simply, I will not have this man to rule over me. That's it. Pastor, you can preach to your blue in the face. You can take every Sunday night and you can preach the gospel for as hard as you like, for as long as you like, but I'm telling you this, it means absolutely nothing to me. Well, that's a shame. That's a tragedy. A young man came one evening to me at the end of a mission. Lovely young man. He said to me, can I ask you a question? I said, yes, you can. We sat down, he said to me, tell me. Are you telling me that it's possible to know so many things about the Lord Jesus Christ, to get involved in things that are Christian, and still not be saved? I said, well, what about Judas Iscariot? He said, yes. I said, well, there was a man who walked with the 12, carried the bag with the 12, involved with the 12 in the Savior's ministry. Jesus said, one of you hath no part in me. That young man turned around in tears. He said to me, Pastor Taylor, I teach Sunday school. I read the Bible to my young people who come along to the Boys Brigade on a Monday night. I sit in church twice every Sunday. And he said, the Word of God tonight has found me out because I know I'm not saved. I don't know whether you're saved or not, but I do know this, that you need to think very seriously about what you hear concerning the Word of God. The negative response, the emotional response, verse 13, Jesus says, they on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Those who receive the word, and they act on impulse, they respond. It's an emotional response. They respond in the midst of a crisis, but there's no conviction of sin. There's no conversion to Christ. It might seem at the start that everything is well, and in a short space of time, all the evidence is gone and there is no saving faith.
that where you are? I'm not going to stand in judgment. But it might be that you made a profession of faith many years ago or maybe recently. And you know deep down in your heart that that was only a profession of faith. That there's no possession of life. No growth. No interest. No assurance tonight that you really belong to Christ. The negative response, the emotional response, the unproductive response, verse 14. Jesus says, that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to perfection. Here's a man who received the word, shows early signs. He should have been doing well, but he became preoccupied with other things, involved with the cares of the world. He couldn't break away from his old life. He was entangled with other things, and ultimately, it bore no fruit. I've met many people who in our province tonight, they term themselves backsliders. And I'm convinced that there are some of them who are away from the Lord and in a backslidden state. I'm also convinced that some I met were never really saved. They talk about Christian things, but their lives are superficial. They walk with God on a when it suits them basis. And their lives have never moved on. And Christ has never been given his rightful place. And after year and year and year and year of standing on a profession of faith, they're going out into eternity. They're not sure where they're going. So Jesus says in verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Here was good soil. It brought forth good fruit. And the challenge is that Jesus says that this is the only soil that brought forth fruit at all. This is the only soil that was productive, that heard and heeded. You see, this causes me, whether I like it or not, this causes me to come to the Word of God afresh tonight. And to look at myself. And to look at myself in the light of God's Word. Not how others see me. Not how others view me. That does not mean anything. But how does God see me? And what is my relationship with him? As the gospel comes again simply to us, as a response negative, has it been emotional? Has it been unproductive? Or is there proof this evening that we genuinely and honestly belong to the Lord Jesus? You may say to me, Pastor, hold on a moment. That's a terrible thing for you to say. Who are you to judge me? I'm not judging anybody. I'm looking at my own heart in the light of God's Word.
The Lord said on one occasion, not all who call me Lord, Lord. Not all who call me Lord, Lord shall enter into the kingdom. But Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not done this, that, or the other thing? And he says, depart from me, for I never knew you. That's what makes this so serious. And yes, so solemn. What might this parable be? The disciples asked. It might be one of great importance for you and for me tonight as we simply examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith or not. Let's pray. Father, we find it difficult when we come to portions of your word like this that search us to the very core of our being, that cause us tonight to look at ourselves in the light of the gospel that we hear and hear so often. Grant our Father there'll not be a negative response in our hearts, nor a mere emotional response to the things that we hear. Grant, O God, that none of us, be living under a cloud or a false profession, grant that each of us might be sure tonight in our own hearts that we belong to Christ, not on the basis of anything that we are, what we have, what we have done, but simply on the basis that we have come in repentance and in faith and received the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior, and that tonight we're growing up in Him. Grant us help. Not just to hear, but to heed your word, for Jesus' sake.